Shut up. The foot is on
Triple M. New coaches mean new hope.
We've done it again. Oh, this could be the turning point for this Carlton side.
That is a ripping win for the St Kilda Football Club over the Tigers.
Now David Teague and Brett Ratten face off.
The biggest thing right now I wanted the players to do is to believe in themselves.
Try and play to your strengths, and we say that to the players, so why wouldn't you do it as a coach?
Blues, they just extend their lead here.
Terrific footy by the Saints.
So who will shine brightest under the Thursday night lights?
What a contest. For McDonald's,
Triple M rocks footy.
Ah, exciting times for the Blues and the Saints. They kick off round 5 under the roof here at Marvel Stadium. Not far away from game time, around about 30 minutes away. So we look forward to getting stuck into it here. Barry Denner with you. The Blues 2-2, St Kilda 2-2. A room full of superstars as always, 7-time All-Australian, and of course 4 BNFs, and did it all pretty much. Wayne Carey, welcome back to the
G'day,
league.
Baz. Good to be here. I'm really looking forward to this game. You do go to some games and you think, you know, what you try to look for positives. There's a lot of positives to look for tonight. I'm really, this should be an absolute cracker. Both sides in really cracking form. And two sides that are playing a good brand of footy.
Certainly are. This man will be, he'll be calling the action. Two-time All-Australian superstar, Nathan Brown. Welcome back.
Only two.
I agree with Duck here. The floating fixture's been a real winner here for a Thursday night contest. The Saints are up and about. Two of their three games since they've been back have been outstanding, and we've seen what the Blues did down in Geelong and then held on last week. So very much looking forward to seeing how your former mob go, Joey.
Yes, 287, a lazy two All-Australians as well, and he's overlooking his Saints out there as they're going through a few training drills. Welcome back, Joey.
Thanks, Baz. Thanks, boys. Good to be here. But you're right, Duck. These teams have played good styles of footy, but there's a little bit of pressure on them tonight under the roof at Marvel Thursday night after all the conversations that have been had this week about the state of the game. If these two sides do put on a bit of a stinker, there could be a lot of talking points to come out of it. So let's fingers crossed that these sides continue to play the way they have been playing and attack the game and hit the scoreboard.
We're going to chat to injured Saint Zach Jones very, very shortly. A couple of close wins for the Blues in the last couple of weeks, a couple of good scalps too, and the Cats and the Bombers.
Oh, that was a massive scalp a couple of weeks ago. And I guess the big challenge for them was going down there and having such a big win. What this side has done previously after a good win over the last few years, they haven't been able to back it up. So to back it up the week after, I think it's a big, big plus. Let's be honest, both, they've won by less than a kick in both games. Sometimes you're lucky if you do that, and you're unlucky if you obviously lose. So they take the win. But it's never as good as what it seems or never as bad as what it seems. So we will find out, though, tonight just how good both these sides are.
The most impressive things about the Blues, Duck, in the last two wins has been Paddy Cripps hasn't been outstanding best on ground.
Yeah, that's
they've actually got it from other players, like Levi Casbolt has been good, Pitno's been good, the young kid Gibbons, oh, he's not a young kid, he's a mature age, but he's playing his best football. Doherty comes back and has 32 off the half-back line. So the fact that Patrick Cripps didn't have to do everything is a big sign for Carlton.
All right, let's go to our first guest of the night, of course. Not out there tonight, he's been in some good form too, Zach Jones. Welcome to Triple M Footy. On a bit of a roll of Saints, playing some good footy. You'd be disappointed not to be out there tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been really good to come to the club and we've been in some good form. I think we're starting to gel as a team now. So it's really good to see that we're putting some good footy together.
What has been the most pleasing aspect from the coaching staff's point of view in the last few weeks, Zach?
Oh, I think that They do believe in what talent we have around the club and backing our ability. So they're never against us taking the game on or trying to change the way that us players play. So it's really positive to have around the club and having people back you in and have confidence in what you do.
Hey, Zach, I haven't heard you answer this question. I'm always interested to know the differences between you come from such a great club in Sydney, the Sydney Swans, to St Kilda. Any major differences?
Yeah, I think Sydney is so well at executing on the big stage, and obviously they've played a lot of finals. I think they missed one final the year I was there, or two finals the year I was there. So I think the difference is that they execute when they really need to, and Saints really haven't been in a position to do that, and hopefully we can get ourselves in a position to play some finals and put ourselves to the test against the best. I think we're trying to build a culture around being successful, and hopefully we can do something like that. I'm pretty happy with where the coaches want to take it, so it's good.
You've played three pretty good teams since you've we've come back from COVID. The Bulldogs, Collingwood and Richmond, two of those were really good. What did you learn from the Collingwood game that was so different to the way you played in the other two?
Yeah, I think Collingwood especially is, they can play so many different game styles. So they can play fast, they can play slow and chip the ball around, and then they can change it fast. So they're a very good team on the MCG. And I think for us, we haven't played on the MCG. That was our first time. We just couldn't really figure out the gap control, and they kind of had chances to pick us apart, and especially early in the game. I think they know that ground so well that they were picking us apart and getting their entries pretty easy. So that puts our backs under pressure, and then I think we started correcting that after the second half. So it's important that we learn the lesson of understanding the different fields and what teams want to do to you on those fields.
And, Zach, you played with the best modern-day key forward in Buddy Franklin, young Max King. I thought he showed some really, really good signs. Where do you think this kid can get to?
Yeah, I get told to not pump him up too much. But,
Does he get ahead of himself, does he?
Nah, I think he will get ahead of himself if I pump him up too much. But, I think he could – the sky's the limit for him. Like, you see what he does. He gets his hand on the ball at the moment, but he hasn't quite clunked him yet. I think in the next 2 years, he's just going to find his hands are just going to start clunking them, and it's going to look even better. So we're happy with him being up forward, because we know if we kick it to him, he's going to bring it to ground for us. But we know eventually it's not going to be bring it to ground. It's going to be he's marking nearly every single one. So he's played against some really good defenders for the first few rounds, and I think he's handled his own really well. So the development's going to be exciting for us Saints supporters and players.
You played a fair amount of half-back. Nick Caulfield has really come back in lightning form. I think the way he gets the footy and the decisions he makes and his ability to hit a target have been really good in those last three games.
Yeah, we've had Coff come back in, and he's come in really confident. And that's the thing with the coaches, that they give him the license to pull the trigger if he thinks that it's the right kick. And even if he makes the mistakes, it's about moving on. I think if you hold on to those things, then it builds up slowly over a game, over the season. He starts thinking about it. He actually becomes a different footballer to what he is. So we have full confidence in Coff with the ball. So it's exciting to see him coming off the halfback flank and pulling the trigger on kicks, because that sets up our offense.
We're changing the start. St Kilda recruit Zach Jones. Zach, what have you scouted about the Blues this week? What do you need to take away from them to try and win this game tonight?
Yeah, so we noticed that they're a very good side at the moment. They're in great form, and it's not just Cripps. So normally it's worry about Cripps inside, but I think they've got a lot of different players playing really well at the moment. We've got Doherty that played well off the back line. So you got to watch those players, especially Doherty, because he sets up their offense. Gibbons has been playing really well, and he's been getting on the end of the chain as a forward, so you got to watch those players that they don't start to get a run on. Hopefully we can shut them down early and then start our game up.
Zach, what's your night entail tonight? Do you get to go to the game considering you're injured, or do you watch it from home?
Nah, so I get to sit on the couch and watch it from home and stay in the warmth, but
that's
I'd actually
anyway.
Rather be there. Nah, I'd rather be there. Just get to relax a little bit more if I'm there and I can see what's going on in the backfield.
A couple of beers on the couch would be nice. Hey, yeah. Were you surprised that your brother got a start to Judd Cheller late last year, because he was front and centre everywhere in the photos?
It's a bit of carry-on from Nath, I reckon. he would have been putting his head around the cameras for sure. So it's an interesting call-up. If Juddy needs another one, I'll be there.
Good on you, Zach. Disappointed, no doubt, you're not out here tonight, but just look after yourself on that couch. Don't wander out the wrong door, because the whole world will just pile in on you.
So, no,
take care of yourself.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Zach Jones, he started right, the Saints, isn't he?
He was good last week. 12 disposals in that first half and ran.
I've always liked him as a player. He's lively. Tough. He's lively. Speed takes the game on.
I think we've seen a bit of a difference from him. At Sydney, he was a wing half-back, as you said. Now he's actually playing as an inside mid and has that ability, like what Jack Stephen had when he was at St Kilda, to get from the inside to the outside with a bit of speed and break open the game. So he's become a really important recruit. And at the moment, you've got to tick off all the recruits that St Kilda brought to the footy club this year with Dan Butler and a few of the others down there, Dougal Howard. They've done a really good job, so they should be really proud so far.
Just to change tack just quickly, because you brought his name, how do you think he went, Jack Stephen went last week?
He's struggled his first couple of games. He's been a bit rusty. But I
thought that was his first. He's been back.
He played the week before, and he had about... Yep. A handful of touches.
He's got the haircut.
He doesn't need to wear the long sleeve with the stripes. Just a short sleeve back.
No, the hoops don't. Wouldn't suit us, Baz.
it wouldn't. No, Joey, thanks for that.
He'll be definitely right. He's a good player.
Joey, a little bit later on, we're gonna have a chat about the state of the game. Obviously, Alistair Clarkson had some strong comments to make after his game last week against North Melbourne, of which his side, of course, won. But you've got some interesting little scenarios to bring up for us.
Oh, I think so. We just have a chat. I've just had a good look at it this week and try to break it down. There's a lot of chicken or the egg. What's causing what in the game? Why is it low scorings? I think we can nut it down to one or two key aspects that we think, with some subtle changes to the rules, we might be able to get some scoring back and free the game up. But we'll have a look at some of the myths and misconceptions in footy with regards to the state of the game.
Well, we look forward to getting stuck into that. Are we sensing a theme at the moment? Is any side sort of... It's very hard. I mean, obviously, no one can pick a winner. The world's in a funny place. The competition's in a funny place. You look at the two sides out here tonight, they both sit at 2-2.
We say that, Baz, but I reckon the last couple of years has been like that.
It's been like for a long time.
It's been like that for a few years now, with the closeness of the competition not being able to pick a winner.
Swings and roundabouts.
The difference is this year, so all of a sudden Gold Coast have now become a team that you don't take lightly. They're not just a tick. The Adelaide Crows are that team actually at the moment. But even Fremantle, they've been in every single game they've been in. Okay, they haven't had a win, but they've been close, so they're competitive. The only one that doesn't look like a win is the Crows. So every other supporter out there is sitting there going, we're a chance, which is great for the comp. And it's been like that for a while.
Well, that's right. Every team, the old theory, if they play their best, if St Kilda play the way they played last week, they're capable of beating every team. Same as Carlton. I mean, if they played like they did down at Geelong a couple of weeks ago, they can beat anybody. The challenge in modern football is being able to do it 2 out of 3 weeks. You need to do it every 2 out of 3 weeks to win enough games to play finals. The good teams do that, and they might win 3 out of 4 times. The teams that don't make finals, like Carlton in the past or St Kilda in previous years, they might play one of those games once every 3 or 4 weeks. And everyone says, if they could just do that more often. It's a bit like our golf game, Baz. If we could all hit a ball straight down the middle and get a birdie or a par, we just can't do it every hole. And that's why we're no good at golf. But if you can do it every week and every time, that's when you become really good. And that's the challenge for teams in the modern football.
As an individual player, you want your gap between your best and your worst to be close, just like you do as a team. Your worst is 5 or 6 out of 10, not a 0.
Yep.
50 game tonight, Dan Butler. Geez, talking about winning. The Saints look like they might have... hit the jackpot with Dan, so early days, but geez.
He's playing great footy, isn't he? Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, now they just look so different, St Kilda, with their speed.
You got speed.
They speed, don't they? And that is the key. Speed kills. Modern football, they're getting out the back and they're getting goals, easy goals out of the goal square from hard-running small forwards and mids.
And Joey, you've got a few things to say about the state of the game. You've been studying, you've had your head in the books all week, and you've just worked it all out.
Yeah, I've done a bit of homework this week, Baz, because I'm doing my scouting for Fremantle, but I'm not actually sure who Freo are playing next week yet, so I've been able to put that on hold because I don't know what's happening with the state of the competition. So I had to look at some of the numbers, and there's been obviously a lot of talk this week about the state of the game and what's wrong with it. Now, no doubt scoring's gone down, and I'm looking from 2010 to 2020. Scoring's gone down by about 2 goals per team per game. So it's 4 goals a match that's gone down. But what's been the bit of the misconception is about the congestion around the ball and the clearances and the amount of stoppages and tackles and contested possession numbers. They actually haven't really changed in 10 years. There's actually the same amount of ball ups and throw-ins as there was 10 years ago. There's actually less tackles in a game than there was 10 years ago. And we're going by to a proper 120-minute game. This isn't just for 2020. It's for 2019 and 2020. And the contested possession rate is about the same. So the congestion is not actually around the stoppages and numbers around the ball. The biggest change in the game of football in the last 10 years is 10 years ago, the average teams were playing on was at 42%. So going at 42%. These days, the average team plays on at 25%. and boundary use has become significantly more and corridor use is much, much less. The other factor is handballs are less in regards to the handballs to create out into space for that overlap run. The handball that creates...
Hot potato.
Well, there's a lot of little flicking handballs, but the handball's out into space. And what that means is everyone's still going inside 50 the same amount of times in the last 10 years, but are scoring at a hell of a lot less. Duck, in 2010, the best team in the comp was scoring at... every team in the comp was scoring at above 46%. It's almost one in two when you're going inside 50. Now the best team in the comp goes at 46%. The best team. Mm. Yet 10 years ago, every team in the comp, even the worst team, were going at 46%. So what's happened is it's the play on of the game. The ball movement has stifled. Everyone is playing much slower and much conservative with the ball in hand. That's what's causing the congestion. Because when a player takes a mark and they've got 7 to 10 seconds to kick the ball and they kick it sideways or kick 10 metres forward, it allows everybody in the ground to come to one side of the ground. So when the kick does go to a contest, that's why there's so many numbers around the ball.
Defending's changed too, though. So they look up and they see a massive zone defence.
Yes.
If
they move the ball slowly, that defence is there.
Yes.
If they move it quickly, the game is more open.
The reason why clubs now, Brownie, move the ball slower with ball in hand is they want to set up their defence while they've got the ball. Because if you play fast and you turn the ball over, you're going to get scored against because your defenders haven't got time to get organised and find their man and set up in their structure. So every team with the ball is playing slower than they were 10 years ago, without a doubt. By a mile, the numbers tell you that playoff percentage. At the moment, six of the top eight teams on the ladder are below average play-on percentage. They're the lowest play-on percentage teams in the comp. So the teams that are winning are playing slow because they're not getting scored against.
So are the targets there for them to hit, though? And they're electing
not
Brownie, to play on?
I do four live games a weekend. And yes, they are there.
Yes, Doug.
But you know what? You've got robots out there. These players get given instructions and they take it to the nth degree. When you look at a team, and you guys know, you guys blows had 40 IQ, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. The majority of the guys out there, and when I say majority, I'll say 70 to 80% of them, aren't actually have a high footy IQ. They're great athletes. They know how to play footy, but they're not your Hodge or your Mitchells or you two and, you know, that guy that understands the game really well. They get told to do something.
And they do it.
And they do it to the nth degree. They're robots. They're programmed. They don't have the ability to change on the run. You should, if you mark the ball forward to centre, you should play on every time. And as you're going on your arc, because they can't come within 10 metres, so you can go on your arc, you turn, you go, and you make your decision in that space of time, whether you're going to go long, short, sideways, or
well,
any of
what
those
you're options. Saying is they're being told not to do that, to
exactly.
play conservative.
Yes, yes. And then they take it to the nth degree.
The risk-taking has been taken out of the ball in hand.
So then when they do see the opportunity, or they should go quick,
not instinctive.
They're a deer in headlights, you know, a rabbit with myxomatosis. They don't know what to do. And I agree. Everything you said then, Joey.
And you should know, Brandon, because you played as a forward and as a mid. You know, as a forward, if a player took the mark on the wing and turned, like Duck said, and looked up or gave one handball to break open, you know, as a forward, you'd instinctively leave.
Exactly.
And vice versa, if you played on through the midfield, your forward would react to that. And you'd be able to kick it to them. We're backing off, taking too long with ball in hand so that our defence can set up behind the ball. And then by that time, there's 16 players in the defensive 50, and then we're hoping Max King takes a mark of the year to kick a goal.
Look at what happens, and I love it, because when you get a real forward, when you see them get the ball up the ground, what do they do straight away forwards?
Play on.
They play on straight away because they know what they want. So they do it instinctively because that's what they know is the best thing for that next position.
So they're not being taught this at the moment. When I played with Brad Johnson, I could see him ahead of me. Before he even marked the ball, I was leading to Brad Johnson because I knew he was going to turn straight away, and I knew that.
Yes.
But nowadays, what you were saying is the players don't know that. The players are discouraged from doing that because they don't want to make a mistake and turn the ball over in a vulnerable position because that allows easy scoring back.
Because 10 years ago, midfielders were playing on nearly one in two mark. Every time they took a mark, every second mark they were playing on. Now it's one in three.
Handballs are down?
Handballs are down as well. And playing on his hand, he's down.
So that's what Geelong did so well. Over handball, use the ball.
And what is interesting is St Kilda, right, are actually second in the competition for play on. That's why we just heard Zach Jones say Brett Ratten is actually allowing them to play a style of footy where they can play a bit more free-flowing. And we've seen how good it is. Now, the risk with St Kilda, like what happened against Collingwood, if it doesn't work, they're getting scored against.
Yeah.
Well, so it's that we want to see that high-risk football.
High risk.
But the coaches are saying, well, high risk can work, but we can also get scored against. We need more coaches like Brett Ratton.
Please.
And we might need to bring in some rules, Baz, to try and somehow speed up the ball movement.
Well,
I think teams, players that take the mark are allowed too long to get rid of the ball. I've been counting. They take a mark, Brownie. The umpire gives them 7 seconds. Then he gives them the whistle and says, okay, move it on. And then they've got 9 or 10 seconds, so they kick
have it.
I would make it, when you take a mark, 1, 2, 3, 4, play on.
Simple for me. And I know there are rule changes. And, we've made a lot in recent times. There's been so many changes. And I know with the 6-6-6, I think that's great when we've got close games because it spreads the, you can't see players behind the ball. So I'm liking that. I still don't think that's come to fruition because of all these other things. The kick has to be 20 metres to be a mark for me. That has to come in. Too many dinky kicks, 5, 6, 7 metres that they pay
to slow, play on.
Which slows the game.
Yep.
So they've got to make that. And I think if you kick the ball behind, it's play on.
Play
you
on.
Cannot kick the ball behind. And they're pretty simple.
They're
things
simple.
To bring
They're not the nuclear bomber. No. They're not changing the game.
The only game that is
the game.
Anywhere similar to us is the game of Gaelic football, and they use a round ball. Obviously, very similar rules, but they don't allow marks.
A mark.
They don't mark it less. So the game is completely on
constant.
The go all the time.
Yes.
We're not going to say that we're not going to pay marks because that's a big part of our game. But I agree with you. If it's a 20-metre pass. All of a sudden, 15 metres, you're having to play on, you're having to create
those
something.
Those dinky little kicks. That, by the way, the reason why they get so many of those dinky kicks? Because the players know that it's not bloody the required distance, yet the umpire pays them a mark all the time.
Yeah.
Or I think we figured it out, Bush.
20 minutes, or you call a play on quicker. They've only got 5 seconds. Take a short mark. You've got to turn. You've got to either kick it to another player or you've got to kick it long.
Well, that's
get the ball
a directive
moving.
That they can do in season with the umpires. The AFL can say, okay, we've got too long on the mark. So if someone takes a mark, we've got 10 seconds all of a sudden. Make it 4. Make it 4 seconds so they're kicking the ball on 5.
It's got nothing to do with the stoppages. And I know there's been about putting them in zones and all that sort of thing. That'll only work for the stoppage. And then as soon as that one player takes a mark and they back off, everyone will still converge in half a ground and will still get density because I think that we need to be able to move the ball on quicker.
Should
and find
not
ways.
Be allowed to kick backwards.
And Mel, what about...
Well, you can, but it's play on.
Drop off. 2018.
Yeah.
They kicked over 100 points. I reckon 10 or 11 times.
Now they are one of the slowest teams in the competition.
They had some forwards too.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.